I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Welcome to the witness stand. If you were here last week, you heard that we are commanded to be witnesses and individually share what we've heard. So to answer the call today, we've got a doctor, a principal, and an ex-bartender ready to respond to the messages we've been sharing at His Place. And let's face it, we need to talk about some of the stuff that Bruce has been saying up here. Paul himself calls the Jews in Berea of noble character because they studied Scripture every day to hold him accountable and see if what he said was true. Maybe we should give it a shot. So this is our chance as a church to talk about what we thought about what he's been talking about. So, with that, let's welcome to the platform the good Dr. Kevin Welk. This is where I put in my game show voice. He's an Oklahoman import who completed his internal medicine and pediatrics residency in Tennessee before moving here to Washington to work for Skagit Regional Clinics. With wife Kara and three kids, Kevin has been involved in many things here at His Place, leading men's prayer and with his better half, divorce care. Welcome. Next, please welcome Principal Pat Russell. Hey, Pat. Born and raised in Kirkland, Pat graduated with a youth ministry degree before getting his master's in teaching and becoming the principal of Cedar Park Christian School in Bothell. Feeling the call, Pat and his wife, Kim, moved their three kids here to Mount Vernon, where he currently serves as the principal of Mount Vernon Christian. There, he also coaches soccer, basketball, and baseball, right, to fill the doldrums known as the Seahawks off-season.
Or the Mariners season.
Or the Mariners season, right? Equally depressing. And lastly, there's me. I'm Noah Richards, and I've been an Anacortes native for most of my life and held many crazy jobs before I settled into bartending for a decade. However, two and a half years ago, I was sitting in a His Place chair, and I felt the call to serve a new purpose and began working with teenagers.
Wow.
Yeah, right? Here at Ignition Youth and at the Boys and Girls Club. My wife and three kids have been very supportive as I work to finish my degree in Christian studies so that I may better serve, and we all look forward to a calmer future where we get a full 8 hours of sleep. So what we're going to do here today is to take a minute to revisit something from the last couple of weeks which has impacted us personally, and then speak for 5 minutes to share our perspective. And like everybody with a microphone, we've got a lot to say, so I'm going to use a timer and this gavel to keep us honest. Sound good? All right. Well, then, please, Pat, you are on the clock.
All right. Sounds good. Well, good morning, church. This is our second time around, so hopefully we've ironed out this portion a little bit. I wanted to add to mine, but the five-minute key, I got to stay to it, so let's begin. As Noah said, I get the opportunity today to share with you how God has worked in my life through the sermon series the last few weeks. Like many of you here today, I sat in the chair listening and wondering, I've never thought of that before that way. Or I've said, are you sure? Pastor has given us freedom to think as a church, and I am thankful for that. If we believe that God reveals his truth in Scripture, we must be willing to go to Scripture to grow in our understanding of what truth is. A few weeks ago, we learned more about Moses, who ushered in the law, and Samuel, who was the first prophet as the Jews settled in the Promised Land. Jesus states in Matthew 5:17, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus came to be the completion of their efforts in life. He became the sacrificial lamb once and for all. However, if you are like me and grew up in the church, we tend to fight this internal battle of living for the law rather than living for the Lord. Romans 3:20 puts it this way, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscience of sin." That is when this phrase from Pastor challenged me. He said, You see, the more you try to earn it, the less worthy you feel. I'm going to say that one more time. The more you try to earn it, the less worthy you feel. I don't know if you're like me, but oftentimes I work so hard on the image, on the outside appearance. Some of you might be thinking I could work a little bit harder. I apologize. And I negate that which actually affects an outward change. When I was a kid growing up in the church, I learned more oftentimes about what a Christian looks like and worked hard to look the part. It left me wondering, am I good enough? As an adult, I still fight that challenge and inner struggle of looking the part and know if it was up to me or if it were up to me to earn my way, I would fall drastically short. The answer to the question of, am I good enough, seems to become more clear as I grow. I, on my own merit, am not good enough. This fact is reinforced when I see my own sins and the sin nature of my kids. However, it gives us another verse, and I thank God for verse 21. It says, but now righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known to which the law and prophets testify. His grace is sufficient. His truth stands alone. We are made righteous through our internal change due to the work of the Holy Spirit. He affects change in how we speak, how we act, and how we live. Up on the screen behind me, you see many images from time to time. Many have made me cringe, some have made me laugh. But the picture of the hands, I think we'll show it here soon, stood out the day I saw it. The only man-made thing in heaven, Pastor asks, the scars of our sins on Jesus' hands and body. Jesus demonstrates through retaining our scars that he is not as concerned with the outside, but rather the inside. I think back to my kids saying that they had washed their hands and I wanted to check if they were lying. And I'd say, show me your hands. I would call them out and ask them, I want to see your hands. I wanted to see if they were telling the truth. Jesus shows us his hands not to condemn, but rather to reveal and redeem. For he is truth. I believe at his place, we are challenged to go to scripture. We have been challenged to ask, to seek, and to knock. Because of this, I've spent more time in the last few months looking online to see what others say about a given topic. I've read scripture trying to see the connections. I've questioned, I've wrestled with, I've concluded, and I've sought further understanding. So church, we are called to action. Being challenged pushes us to achieve, to attempt, to do, to ask, to seek, to knock. If you're unsure of something, don't push it to the side. The opposite of ask, seek, and knock is to ignore, neglect, and give up. And I pray we are not a church that ignores, neglects, nor gives up on the truth revealed in God's word. Oftentimes, we want to be told what to do. And I love this sermon series that's putting us back into seeking truth through God's truth, through his revelation and word. And it keeps us moving forward and growing in our faith. So thank you for the opportunity to speak to you guys this morning.
Came in on record time.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
I know, all right. You know, I mentioned this first service, and I wanted to kind of bring it up again, which was to say that I found a great comfort in stagnation. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I remember thinking, like, it's without having to seek, knock, or ask anything. It was real easy. And I enjoyed it there for years and years, and it was probably the thing that kept me from digging into that word. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Do you feel similar?
For sure. I was talking in between services. I'm in Chronicles. I mean, that's not a normal place to start reading Chronicles, but I jumped from one of the sermon notes, and I went to Exodus, and then went somewhere else and found myself in Chronicles, and I was sharing a little bit that it's been a while since college, and being able to read and go in depth this last month, I'm principal, so I have June off, sort of, thoroughly enjoyed the opportunity to just read and spend time in his word and really discover anew what he has for me.
Yes, and there's definitely plenty of challenging
for sure
that we are doing here at his place. I love it. All right, Kevin, show us what you got.
So, am I on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, for a good portion now, and this is the background about what I'm going to say. So, for a good while now, God has been putting some things in my heart, and the specific thing he's been putting on my heart is a prayer that I've been praying intermittently is, really, Lord, help me to love supernaturally. So, in the context of that, if you remember last week, Bruce talked about being witness. And specifically talked about in Acts 10 where he talks about we're really commanded to witness. And a little bit later on, he went into a verse, and it's one of the verses in the Bible, or passages in the Bible, that, you know, when you first read it, you're like, whoa. And so it's in Mark, it's Mark 16. And it says, "These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons." Okay. "They will speak with new tongues." All right, we've seen that in the Bible. "They will pick up serpents." Okay. "And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." And, you know, when I first read that, I don't know when, but when I first read it a while back, a long time ago, I just kind of glossed over it. Well, I really like the fact that Bruce brought it up again, and then in the context of what God's been doing in my life, and then in this next part that I'm going to talk about, in the sense of, you know, these brood of vipers, these people that Jesus talked about, that, you know, the Pharisees, that he called them the brood of vipers, and these people that are serpent-like, or what I call vampires. And, you know, it's pretty hard being one of these vampires, because I was one of them. You know, these people that are hungry, deceitful, cursing, bitter, angry, and without any peace. Constantly hungry. Constantly looking for something to fulfill them. Something to make them feel okay. You know, I need a person, or I need a car, or I need a house, or I need a certain amount of money for me to be okay. And that behavior and what it does, because it's so self-seeking, it hurts other people. So, you know, there are a lot of passages in the Bible that talk about these, what I call vampire verses. And one of them, one of the more clear ones, is in Romans 3, 10 through 18. Starts out talking about the righteousness of people. It says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one." And here's the part where it really starts kicking in. "Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths. And the path of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes." I've known that insatiable hunger for more, and I've hated it. I felt it to the core of my body, the desire for things and for people that provides you no peace whatsoever. And so I love what the Bible talks about, and there's another strange passage in the Bible that's in John. And when I first read it, you know, I was like, okay, I just kind of glossed over it. I thought, that's really weird. But I've now called it this passage, the vampire cure. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." This is graphic stuff. You read this and you're like, whoa, Jesus. And when he said this to people that he was talking to in Capernaum at the time, many of his disciples laughed. They were like, that is too weird. What are you saying? So to put it into context, the more I devour Jesus, the more I read the Bible, the more I pray with him, the more I spend time with him, the more I look like him, the more I act like him, the more love comes into me. I start living and behaving and treating people like Jesus did. loving them. He gets filled up in me. It's impossible to love vampires. It's impossible to love these people who hurt you. It's not possible. And I know that. I know that inside of me, and I've been praying, God, help me to love people that were just like me, people who are selfish and cruel and will hurt you. Because I was there. I did that. And I feel for them in their own brokenness because I was there. And so I think about the fact, as Bruce talked about, you know, how can you handle these people? How can you treat them, admonish them, setting boundaries and appropriate behaviors and admonishing, yet also giving them grace in a circumstance and loving them in a circumstance that's just so difficult and so overwhelming. They're hungry and they don't know where to turn, and you become the light of Jesus in their life.
Hang on. Amen. You know, you say there's a vampire cure in the Bible. I don't remember reading that part, but it's interesting. There is a vampire cure in the Bible. And as a person, being a former vampire, as you say, it sounds to me like the best thing that I can do if I have a vampire in my life is to love them out of it. Is that what you'd say?
Yeah, and you have to be, you know, obviously people have been abused and all this kind of stuff, and you have to come to an understanding of, you know, where is it appropriate to set a boundary and to admonish and to love. And sometimes the best thing you do is just pray for them. You know, you're just right. Praying for them. You're just saying, you know, Lord, I don't know how to fix them. I can't fix them. Only you can. And the only thing I know to do is just to pray for the situation, to pray for them. And sometimes that's where you have to leave it. And that's where sometimes you need some help and counseling and, you know, what do you do with these people? And there's a lot more I could say about that. You know, how do you love people in broken situations? Not necessarily broken emotionally, but broken physically. How do you love people in difficult circumstances? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for that. Absolutely.
I get the gavel this time?
You can have the gavel. All right. If I run over, you can just throw it at the back of my head. It goes to prove, though, that the vampire movies were correct. They're afraid of the Bible.
That's right.
Cures vampires. All right. Well, I'd like to say something then, too. Let me see if I can arrange my notes here for you. You know what's great about our church? The free cookies after service. All right? But you know what else? The freedom to follow God. We have a motto here that goes a little something like, you don't have to agree, but you do have to think. And that frees us up to really personally digest some of the recent messages. I mean, David, Moses, and Samuel were at Jesus' tomb. Michael's not an angel, but is Jesus. It's a pretty big meal. Such big revelations can be hard to agree with if they challenge what we thought we knew. But this is where our command to think comes in. Should we investigate some of these bold teachings, or should we get Dr. Kevin here to commit Bruce? Well, I don't think he's that kind of doctor, so we're going to have to think our way through this. But what does this kind of thinking look like? Surprisingly, it's not in reading the Bible. I said that on a church stage. That's terrible. It's in understanding the Bible. There's a big difference, and it's something we've been talking about for some time now. Back in April, we heard a little logic string that was about faith that was built on some scriptures that went a little something like this. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain about what we do not see. It says that in Hebrews. What is not seen is not necessarily invisible, but purposefully concealed with the intent of being revealed. Just like so many games, puzzles, and word searches, you have to play them to solve them. Faith is being sure of... I'm sorry, let me back up here. We should look beyond what is seen to what is unseen. All treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus. And therefore, we should look to Jesus as the key to our faith. So, knowing Jesus is knowing the Bible. He's the secret decoder ring that helps us understand the Bible in all of its puzzling ways and unlocks our faith, which shows us what the puzzle picture even is. He tells us about the cigar in the wall. It's the way we're supposed to think. Well, all right, that's great. We've got the formula to unlocking the universe. We can properly think our way through the Bible and tell Bruce if he's full of baloney, or if we want to agree with him. But there was one last step there before we start. We were supposed to know Jesus. But that sounds easy enough. How do you get to know anyone? Conversations. Talking and listening. Well, the same goes for Jesus. Luckily, we spoke about this over the last few weeks, and it's pretty easy. Remember how to listen for his voice? You just have to want to. It's not a passive decision, but an active pursuit. If you truly desire to know him, he'll meet you when he sees you searching with purpose and passion, thinking and digging. When you do this, God loves to reveal himself, and we get to hear some pretty important and encouraging stuff. Which brings us to talking back. This is where I was faltering. It'd be pretty awkward if we didn't say anything in this conversation, but how do we do it? Well, thankfully, I heard something else last week. God commanded us to preach, publish, proclaim, demonstrate, share, explain, and bear witness in one way or another. It's not a suggestion. We are witnesses. You need to see that sharing is critical to your created purpose. You've been strategically placed in time and space to reach those around you. Talking to Jesus is the unique witnessing and wrestling that you do from the life you've got. Our speech is what we do wherever we're at. We are designed and commanded to talk back because it's the only way we could know God and then have a relationship, which is what it's all about. So as I thought through these last 3 months, I realized I need to understand things in this way. We simply need to want to pursue him, to listen. We need to witness in our lives, to talk back. We need to continue this conversation to know Jesus. We need to know Jesus to see the unseen in the Bible. And we need to see the unseen to have faith. This is what thinking looks like. And as we work to understand the Bible and the story of Jesus here at his place, we've definitely been given some food for thought. So let's dig in. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for our church community and the diverse group of minds and hearts that help us to cooperatively understand you. Lord Jesus, lead us to understand your profound example of how to overcome all of the distracting peril in our human existence so that we may be made like you. Holy Spirit, help us to embrace the challenges put before us as opportunities to play a game that reveals your character as the loving Father you are. Let us go into the world excited and unafraid to share and witness to all of the amazing work you do for us. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.